3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody!
Hi!
It's that time again. Time for
podcast
number 36.
36.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yes. And what topic are we going to be discussing today?
Life in the future.
Ooh, that's a good topic.
Future life, including
the new Earth. Wait. Future? Oh, I thought we were ending. I thought everything was
disappearing. No. And,
like, how far into the future?
We're talking about even seeing parts of the new Earth.
Ooh.
But okay. All of this will include Revelation 21. Get your Bibles out if you have one. If you don't, go buy one. But make sure it's the right one. We're going to cover a lot today, but definitely life in the future. And that could even be 100 years from now, maybe starting with 100 years from now. What is it going to look like a little bit? Then we're going to go for a blink through the tribulation, a blink through the millennial reign of Christ, which, by the way, yes, it's going to happen. So if your Bible doesn't say that, maybe you need a new one. And so I don't want to get ahead of everything, but I'm very excited about this message, which I did not pick. God himself picked this message for today.
Awesome. Okay. And where do you want to start?
We're just going to start by praying.
Okay.
So, because there's many people out there in many different levels that have many different beliefs themselves. I'm talking about Christianity.
Yes.
They have many different ways they interpret it, they translate it, and they live it. Okay. But we should be living on earth as they do in heaven. So, keep that in mind. So, this is a powerful time we're in. So, Father, I thank you for this revelation that you are giving us straight from your heart. Not from man's. This is from yours. So we may avoid some of the other translations out there and just take it from your heart. What your plans are, what your timeline says, because you're over all of us. We came from you. You sent us. We're going back to you. And so this is about what you have said in your word and revelation on that of how our lives will be that will make everything we go through here and everything we lay down for you will be worth it. So, we're going to go into the future. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Take us there.
I'm going to start by reading the Word of God. How about that?
Oh, good.
I may give a little bit of revelation on it. And yes, I'm reading from King James Version. Don't toss it in the trash can. And so, this is John speaking. As we all know, I'm talking about John the Revelator, who was shut away on the Isle of Patmos because they couldn't kill him in his day. They couldn't kill him. And when they boiled him in oil, he asked for a rubber ducky because he was not being harmed in any way whatsoever. He was the closest disciple to Jesus. And God gave him these great revelations that almost no people understand. But this one is so simple, anyone can understand. So here we go. This is John speaking. It's the last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven. I'm going to get excited. And a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. So throw away the assumption that this earth you're living on right now will be here forever, never, 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 never. It actually wouldn't be big enough to hold everybody that will end up on the new earth. And it's okay, people. You can put your little blankie away and not be concerned about where's God going to put you when he's changing everything. I think if he made you and carried you inside himself and put up with you all the time you lived on this earth and made a powerful place for you, now he's certainly going to have something better in the future. So here he is declaring what God has shown him. He saw a new heaven. He saw it. He saw the new heaven, which, by the way, will not just be God's home. It will be a home for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the book of John, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions.
Yes.
So he calls it his Father's house. So we know heaven is the Father's house. But the new earth will not just be the Father's house. It will belong to all of us. And it says that in the scripture also. So Jesus has already showed John that there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. The first one had passed away. And then he says, John says, and there was no more sea. So people assume there's not going to be any water on the new earth, which would be kind of crazy since the river of life flows from God continually.
Yeah.
And I want to give you a news bulletin. Here's some head knowledge. The word sea separates, that is a part of the bodies of water, many in every country, separates the land masses. the ocean surrounds all it, of yeah. it. And so when God made the earth the first time, there was one massive landmass, and the water in the ocean went around the whole landmass. Then when God separated the landmasses, the seas went in between. So what he's saying is that the new earth will be similar to the first one, that except there'll be no more seas separating the landmasses. The land will be one big mass, and the river of life with the crystal, it'll be the crystal ocean, will be all the way around. We will still have water. We'll always have water, okay, people? So this is taking away your fears and busting all the myths that man has come up with their new languages or whatever, their dreams, whatever they had. Maybe had pizza and pickles or something. And then John is continuing to talk. See, who knew the word would be so excited? And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now, he's talking about the old heaven before it passes away. He's going to climb on the new Jerusalem while we are on the new earth. And God is going to come down on the new Jerusalem. It's going to be prepared in beauty and splendor like a bride for her husband. And then he heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them." See? Mm-hmm. We're already on the new earth he made. He's coming down from the old heaven to the new earth. And he says he will dwell with us, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So he no longer will live in the original heaven himself. Even God is moving people. It's going to be okay. And so all this is part of a future when time will be no more. That doesn't mean we won't exist. That doesn't mean there won't be a place to live. When time will be no more means we will no longer be bound by time. No clocks, no alarms, no calendars. How about that? Just eternity. It'll be eternal living, okay? And so, and it also says one more thing, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Yay!
That's awesome.
No more sorrow, no nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Say all things.
All things.
Not just some things. And he said unto him, unto John, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." How about that? So you want to know who's telling the truth? The Bible says God is.
Yep.
The Father. He knows when time began. He made it. He knows when time will end. And then we'll not be bound by time. Nobody be old. Nobody will ever age. How about that? And so he was, and then there's other things. There's other stuff in the scripture here that talks about other things. We're not going to go into those. Right, we're going to stick right here with what he has said and what he's promised. And so these are powerful things that John is being showed. It is our future life, and no one should be concerned or worried if they've given themselves to Christ. He's going to make all things new. Don't worry about having your own place anymore. It's going to be fantastic because we will get to go to visit planets for fun. Okay, and so it's going to get better and better.
I want to go to Saturn. It's my favorite planet.
You're gonna ride the rings?
Yes.
Without the aliens?
Yep.
That's awesome. And it does begin to describe the beauty and splendor. You need to go read the rest of this, people. So that's what my part was for today, just to talk about our future life. And so I'm gonna add some more stuff to what he showed me. So on God's timeline in heaven right now, the heaven right now, his house, he has it embedded in the floor behind his throne. And it does absolutely show that there'll be perilous times before the end comes. Remember, that means the end of time, when everything wraps up, mm-hmm. and the wicked are taken out of hell. They're shown their life that's been wiped out of the, they're shown that their name has been blotted out of the book of life because they rejected Christ, they chose Satan, rejected everything about him, and so therefore, you know what that talks about in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, about the book of life, which is real. And so after that point, I do know this, no one will be tormented in hell. Hell will literally be emptied, not even Satan. They'll all be thrown into the lake of fire, which will not be on the new earth or anywhere near it. It won't be anywhere near us. And so that's their end. Satan gets lakeside property with free fire. How about that? And anyone who joined him, they're going to get the same thing. The one thing that will be different is Satan will rule nobody in that lake of fire. And everyone in there will hate him more than anyone else. You got to hear the truth. This is the truth.
Yeah.
And people think that Satan's going to be forgiven. There are so many different things going around. You need to know who is being accurately grounded in what God says. So all that stuff is going to happen. But that's going to be a very short time on the earth when all that stuff goes on. So I'm talking even at the end of all that, when the great white throne judgment has taken place and they've all been thrown in the lake of fire. And this is the good news for every believer. Don't stop praying for your loved one, okay?
That's right.
Never stop praying that they're going to know Christ, they're going to be with you in heaven in eternity, that they will give themselves to him. Mm-hmm. And your words are so important to God. They're powerful words. So stand in faith for them.
But you can't pray for them and then turn around and talk
bad about them. You can't advertise what hell is doing.
Because then that cancels your words out.
Yeah, you don't want to cancel your words. I'm really serious about that. It says that you shall eat the fruit of your lips. You know, whatever your heart desires and you declare it, you're going to have that. Mm-hmm. So make sure you're even saying the right things about you. Because God talks about greatness for you. He's got great plans for you. Satan has only bad plans for you. And there even people have the Bible now. Some of the Bible has blotted out Satan, has blotted out accountability, have blotted out the tribulation, have blotted out the millennial reign of Christ. And they are wrong in what they are saying, because God has personally told me he needs these times on the earth for specific reasons. Everyone on this earth is going to have a time to be tested before the very end comes. And as God keeps sending more from him to this earth and they're bursting into this earth, they're going to have an opportunity before the very end comes. Every single one of them will have an opportunity to say yes to Christ. Even during the millennial reign, when Christ is sitting on the throne for 1,000 years, or if that makes you feel better, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. For that 1,000 years, everyone will live very old, to be very old. And people will have still opportunities to receive Christ as their Savior. This is even after the resurrection of the dead has taken place. And people who are going to heaven will be in heaven. They'll still be watching our lives on the earth during the millennial reign of Christ. And Christ will be sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. He'll be king of this world. In his physical body, on this physical planet, with natural people who survived the tribulation. And that gives them an opportunity for 1,000 years to still receive Christ. They'll actually can see him personally on the throne. And a lot of other things will be going on during that time. The earth itself will be healed from all the stuff that the earth went through itself, the trauma the earth went through during the very short period of tribulation. So the earth again will be beautiful, and Satan will be thrown in the bottomless pit for that 1,000 years. He won't be allowed to have any rulership or any influence on the earth. There'll be no weapons on the earth at that time. And so people will have many opportunities to know Christ, even to serve him while he's on this earth. Mm-hmm. And at the very end, when that whole part is over and Satan is loosed, you're getting a quick Bible lesson. I'm just going to have to do it. And when Satan is loosed after 1,000 years, he'll be here on a season on this very earth trying to deceive whoever he can. He still has a plan, thinking he's going to win. I know his brain has been damaged, probably from that lightning bolt that took him out of heaven, that he has this thought. He's so filled with pride, he still thinks in the end he'll win. So even when he's loosed from that bottomless pit, he'll go just crazy. He'll get anyone who hates Christ, and there'll be people on this natural earth, especially leaders of other countries that don't want him here, but they can't do anything about him being here.
Yeah.
And the Bible clearly says there'll be a time when a great horde of people come across, what is the name of that place in Israel? Where that final big battle will happen. They'll all come across there, across this area in Israel, and they will want to...
Is it Shiloh?
No, not Shiloh. No. And where they will want to take Christ off the throne, hoping and probably thinking they probably think they'll be able to destroy him. And the Father literally will not allow his son to lift a hand in that battle.
Yeah.
It says it'll be the last battle on the earth, and he will send fire from heaven and burn up all the wicked, evil people.
Woo.
And at that time is when the false prophet and the beast, you know, and the Antichrist, all those things that went on in the tribulation that thought they were ruling the earth, the wicked ones, they'll be thrown in the lake of fire. And then our lives will increase in many ways because of that happening. And then when all that's done, that is when God will make the new earth, and he will say goodbye to his old home, and get on the new Jerusalem and come down to the new earth with us, where he's already put us. And he will be there with us forever and ever and ever. And for fun, instead of just going out and looking, you know, here, if you want to go on vacation or go somewhere for fun, it's to different countries. But then it will be to different planets. And so our life, this is the very end of the Word of God, of what life will look like at that time. Most people hearing my voice now will not be here on the earth when that happens, unless he has assigned people to be here. We do know there'll be two witnesses during that time. My brother would like to be one of them. I'm not signing up for that, but you know, if God asked me sincerely, I probably wouldn't say no, but I don't think I'm going to be one of those witnesses. But my brother RJ, he's a tough guy. He really wants to be one, so he's already signed up people. He's got his reservation in for that one. And so they'll be going through a lot of turmoil and stuff like that. But when it's done, time will be no more. That doesn't mean we won't. The old earth will be no more. Old ways will be no more. You'll have no memories of anything, any kind of traumas or anything that went on in your life. That will all be wiped away. And he says, behold, I make all things new. You'll still know who you are. You'll still know all your family members that you're with, your friends. That won't be taken from you. But any of the hard things you went through, that will be removed from your memory, because this is a whole new life we're living with our Father on the new earth. And so the time before that, let's go back a little bit, which will still be our future. If let's say we go back 100 or so years before the tribulation, the perilous times, and all that starts, we will be living in greatness on this earth. We will be ruling and reigning with Christ in powerful acts of speaking to the earth, the air, the land, manifesting supernatural things that he allows us to do for him.
Mm-hmm.
Those things will still be going on. They'll be going on for several generations. We're just entering into that time called the Kingdom Age, which means the kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom, will be actively seen in our lives at different points, depending on how far we go with Christ to rule with him. At one point it says your face will shine like the stars in the heavens. Literally, it says the night itself will be light around us. Those who carry the glory. People are talking a lot about the glory of God right now. And they know that talks about that in the Word of God. It says the glory, or the knowledge of the glory. The Holy Spirit just corrected me. The knowledge, the knowing and understanding of the glory, the power of God will go around this world. It will be known about all over this whole world. And it'll cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Well, the waters on this earth are 2/3 of the what's covering the earth.
Yeah.
1/3 is land. 2/3 is water. So if he's saying that the glory will cover this earth like the waters cover the sea, there's going to be more glory in places than not. And that glory is the power, the understanding, the knowing of God, and seeing it very apparently with your own eyes. The glory is amazing. Right now,
can I ask a question, Kat?
Sure, you can ask a question.
So what will that look like in terms of, I know people talk about revivals and there's big meetings going on all over the place and you have revivals in places. Is it like one big revival? Is that what you're kind of speaking about? Like, you know, when you go to a big, say someone's in the middle of, like we had Todd Bentley, you know, on the podcast a few weeks ago, and he's going to go to sort of India or Mexico and there'll be thousands of people. There'll be healings, people get kind of converted. They're, you know, big revolutionary sort of moments in certain places. Is it going to be like that, but everywhere? Or are we talking like something sort of deeper or different to that? Because with our understanding now, we've read about like the Welsh revival, you know, where things mm-hmm. break out.
Yeah.
Or in Toronto, where suddenly something happens. and it like revolutionizes people's lives. It's like a starting point for like the rest of their lives almost. Is that the kind of thing that you've seen or you know about, or is it even more than that?
It is even more than that.
Okay.
It will become a whole new way of life for people who never even knew Christ before. It's like in a second they'll know him. This is something that's going to spread over the earth. It's not something that's going
to
like...
Are you saying they'll start... rather than people sort of ministering to somebody, mm-hmm. are you saying that suddenly people are going to start searching people out that already know, like they have a grid for their experience they're going mm-hmm. through? But more kind of like that?
Yeah.
Some people, someone who's carrying the glory of God, which is by God's desire,
yeah.
will walk in a building and everyone in that building will fall out under the power of God. And when they get up, they'll already know him.
Or walk into a hospital.
Or they'll walk into, or someone yeah. carrying the glory will walk into a hospital and everyone in the hospital will be healed. So this is greater even than anything we've seen in the past. Some people can't even wrap their head around it.
Yeah.
It's going to be so powerful, and it will be that powerful. And that is what people will be looking for on the internet, not the darkness.
Yeah.
The darkness will be literally dumped for several generations. It's going to be dumped. It'll be a lot less sought after or even apparent because the glory is going to saturate so many things. The glory of God can saturate us. It's like a habitation, and that's the way he explains it to me. Well, what is the difference? A difference is a revival was in an area, and it would be very powerful. It could last for a generation or so. And then something from that would carry over to another country or another state, and something would begin to start there. A habitation is something that doesn't end. A habitation is like somebody comes to visit you, but then they leave. So we would have a move of God somewhere, but then it would lift or it would leave.
Yeah.
A habitation is not like that. It will remain.
So is it like, because you know everyone's expecting the next big thing quite a lot. And I know that big, amazing things are happening. But do you think maybe this thing's going to sort of slow, like more organically sort of grow? And people might not be able to perceive some of the things that are happening, but there's like a... It's almost like underground at the moment. Something's growing and people aren't aware, but it's everywhere and it's just growing and growing. And all of a sudden, maybe on YouTube or Facebook one day, you'll sort of flick a video on and some random person in the middle of nowhere is having these things happen and it's God and, you know, something like that. Or
I think there'll be a little bit of that, but I think this is going to be a show, and that is what God calls it. It is a show is not hidden.
Okay.
A show is seen. It's got layers to it. It is powerful. It is a life-changing. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be things like people in a meeting, but then somebody carrying the glory walks through the wall without coming through the door. And they come in there and the power of God begins to fall on every single person. It's like there'll be no escaping it. It's going to consume you. How you respond to it or react to it is going to be up to you. But these are the things where it says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So we all need to say all flesh.
All flesh.
So that doesn't mean he's going to miss a few people anywhere. He's going to touch all flesh. And that won't be him coming in a person and going, okay, I'm touching you. Some of this is going to be sovereign. Like it can fall on an entire city at one time. And he said, in a day... When God says in a day Israel can be saved, that's a statement he's making about the way things will be in this day. I can't even say those days. It will happen like that. Overnight, a whole city will change. Now, that may mean wicked people run to get away from it. That means criminals will either get saved immediately and repent. It could be that they leave. I know a lot of sickness and disease will literally leave these regions where God begins to move in, but he's not planning on doing a small thing. In the past, it would be small and it would grow and people would have time to learn about it or know about it. He's not doing that. He may do that a little bit more in certain areas until some of the leaders actually catch on what's going to happen, because some of them still think they're going to escape in the rapture. And I'm not saying the rapture won't happen. That's up to God when it happens and how it happens. We're focusing now when we take dominion. And so there's a lot of scriptures that talk about things happening that have not happened, like the greater works. They also will be part of what's going on. But I'm talking about supernatural, sovereign acts of God over entire groups and blocks in sometimes cities. And it will be seen, it will go viral online, and people will begin to race before they can even get to those areas that may hit them right where they're at. Even by people watching these things, this is how God's going to move in this time. Even by them watching these things as they're going on, it's going to consume them. It'll come right through whatever device they've got, since Satan has used that for years. It'll come through your iPad, through your
computers
or, okay. Even TVs, wherever it is. Because this is what people are going to demand that. The fake news media, of course, won't want it. And people will just bypass them because God does have the internet. But people will demand, why are you not showing this? I mean, they'll just actually show what they've already seen. Mm-hmm. So no one will be able to hide this one. This is not like an underground movement thing. I know in China, even every these countries you never expected it to happen in. So we're living in a new time. If people don't get it out of their head that they're not escaping, this is not an escape, this is a celebration.
Yep.
Even when the rapture happens, it's a celebration, it's not a rescue. Okay, we have to wrap our head around who God is. He is in charge. And those who love him and want him, or who are even considering him, are going to be consumed. And he has taken me 150 years into the future. I don't mind saying that. Okay, so these next few years is probably the last little bit of time you're going to be able to even consider, what is this living God? What is he like?
Yeah.
How does he act? How does he operate? Because you know what the word says? We're supposed to act just like him.
Just like him, yeah.
And operate just like him. So it's not always going to be God's sovereignty. His sovereign thing may be using you to do something. I'm talking about you listening. Mm-hmm. And so you need to get your head wrapped around, God wants me. He wants me to be a part of this. I've got to stop seeing myself as some small thing that doesn't matter. That's Satan speaking to you. And so in these great days, and people say, well, you've been saying this for 10 years. Yeah, that's what a prophet does, people. Okay. There's some that said several thousand years before something happened. We're not doing that anymore. When God says something now, when it begins to happen quickly, that's what makes a difference.
Yeah.
Your life could change. Suddenlies are happening. He's starting with suddenlies that could be anywhere in the world, and overnight you change.
Yep.
And you need to stop saying that's not going to be you.
And I know even Bob Jones saw 100 years
Bob Jones
into the
saw
future.
Quite a bit into the future before he died.
And he told them all they needed to grab onto it.
Yep. He knew things were going to be different. He knew
yes.
that God was going to do sovereign, powerful things and use everyday people. So that is true. Everyday people will be used. A lot of them will be unknown. So you know what is the best thing you can do for this? Run after Jesus Christ, because we're not doing it without him. There's yep. even groups of people saying we don't need him anymore. We're just going to take over. And I promise you what, they didn't drink that cup in the garden. They didn't die going to hell and wipe out hell. So if you think that's how you're going to do, good luck. But I can tell you that Jesus Christ is still going to be at the head of all of this, and he's going to be seen a lot on the earth also. But we're talking about a sovereign time of God, and it will not be a few short weeks. I know people who are in their like late 80s, early 90s say, well, we love what you say, but we think it's going to happen in a couple weeks. I went, yes, but you said that 20 years ago. And God has his own timeline, and on that timeline are the things that will happen. And that Bible is true. If you buy a Bible and you read it, and it leaves out the millennial reign of Christ, it leaves out the tribulation, it leaves out the... If it leaves it all out, don't keep it.
Yep. If it says all are restored and that if Satan it, and everybody
if it
will
says,
be forgiven...
If it says God is going to forgive everybody, including Satan, don't listen to that person. Okay, because they're either in their own assumptions, which sometimes happens, or they're just simply deceived. And I will add this, because it's going to happen, it says there'll come a day when people will have no emotions or feelings about anything, and that's because they're giving their soul away. They have no layers left. Your layers in your soul are your emotions, how you explain how you feel, how you react to things. You celebrate, you laugh, you live your life. But some people one day will have no emotions whatsoever, and that's not going to be a good thing. So, but for right now and this time, you need to get up in the morning and you say something about your life. Don't wait till the day's half gone and you have all the weights of the world on you, or you've got confusion in you. That's because Satan's ruling you because you didn't rule. And so in this time that Jesus said, you will rule with me now in this lifetime and in the life to come, Those are spiritual levels of authority. That's up to you to run after that. You can change the way you think and the way you live yourself. And people need to do that instead of relying on, you know, what some person is saying is truth, and yet they're out there sinning. I would not believe anyone who's living a sinful life and they stand before any platform and they say they're speaking for God, but you know they're living in sin. God is not validating that sin.
Nope.
He's just not going to validate that sin.
They have rotten fruit.
It says you will know them by their fruit, people. The Bible never says you'll know them by their gift. Their gifts are irrevocable. They may have a powerful gift of prophecy. That gift of prophecy doesn't give them the right to sin.
Yep.
And not repent. And they think it's okay. I would not have anything to do with those people. Pray for them. But don't listen to them. Don't receive from them. Because what you receive from people, whatever you enter into,
will enter into you.
So there's another tip for you for this kind of living. It's all going to happen. You need to know what is of God, what is of man, and what is of the enemy. But these great things that the Bible are talking about that I just read, those are for the followers of Jesus Christ who received him. And in these days coming on the earth, you will not escape seeing these demonstrations happen that have never happened before, like stopping an earthquake, and then you make the earthquake put it back the way it was before. That is the difference in things that happened in the past. Yes, people who died in earthquakes sometimes were prayed for and they came back to life, but I'm talking about everything being put back the way it was before it ever happened. These are some of the amazing, powerful signs and wonders that we will be doing on this earth. And in this earth, God's going to erase the gray area that says there is no God. So God's got a long list on his long line, and you can either partner with him or you can go play with the demons. We don't do demons.
That's right, we don't.
We do not do them.
We torment them.
Oh, yes, it's time to torment the demons. That's right. Actually, that's our next statement. If you don't know, we already have some new products out with the statement, I don't do demons. That came from heaven. That statement came from heaven. And let me tell you, God is very excited about putting it out there, because no matter where we go, wearing those buttons, or we actually have big car magnets that say that
big
now.
Big car magnets. People, they're real big. You can see it real
even
big.
Even secular people in the world are undone, because no one ever sees that.
So you're not asking their opinion about something, and it kind of hits at a place where they can't reason it away, so they just respond to it.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing, actually, how it works.
Isn't it? People who never even... Who would think to market something that strikes against hell and the darkness?
Yep.
People just want to excuse things away and kind of rationalize stuff. But like when you go for a drive-thru or something, they'll look at it and they'll be like, oh yeah, of course, you know. It's almost like they're inside of themselves. They're going, yeah, but I've got a reaction to that. Obviously, you know, mostly it's positive, which is kind of strange, because you think that might be a bit confrontational. But the person's reading it and going, yeah, in my life, you know, I don't want a partner with darkness. I don't, you know, I want the best thing for my family. I want this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? So it actually kind of, I think the Holy Spirit sort of breathes on them.
Yeah, like right. It gets them thinking.
It actually causes them to hold themselves accountable, because see, no one's out there reminding them during the day, and everybody's everyday. No one, you're not getting reminded at your job, in the stores. You're just not being reminded that there's evil and there's God and there's light and there's evil and there's darkness. And people who may think it's fun to play with the darkness, they don't think that when they start getting attacked and family members die and they hear about the torture and the horrible stuff and they hate that stuff in the Bible.
They can't even reason it.
You're right. And they don't realize they're actually partnering or just advertising, or they're advertising what hell is doing. This button, this statement that God said, I want you to put this on things and let people see it. It pierces the very soul, your soul, and says, hey, wake up. Do you do demons? Do you play with them? Do you stop them? It says in the Bible, if you submit yourself under the hand of God and you resist Satan, that says resist the darkness. So we're making a statement. Yeah. Our statement is we resist the darkness. And every church member, I don't care what church you belong to, I don't care what denomination you belong to, none of you she'd want to partner with hell. So when you wear this thing that says, I don't do demons, you'll be shocked at the response. And you could go through the same drive-thru all the time, shop in the same store all the time. It won't be the same when you wear that.
Yep. Yep.
So God is raising up a time into people that will literally say, I have nothing to do with the devil.
That's right.
And this is actually his statement, letting people understand, maybe passing by all the time, it will eventually make them ask you a question.
Yeah, and so you better be prepared to know how to answer it.
Be prepared to have an answer.
They will ask.
They will say, so what is that? I don't do demons. That means that I do Jesus Christ, okay? I rule with him. I crush the darkness. They are my doormat. That's what that means. And then that's going to cause even more questions, you know? Because in the Bible, it clearly says that. Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. That means over every single demon.
That's right.
And this buttman makes a statement saying, I live that way. But I do not tolerate any evil in my life. And people, it does something to them, just knowing there are actually people on earth that are bold enough to make that statement that you have nothing to do with the evil. There's actually people, because when they see what's on the news or they see what's in movies or other stuff like that, it all looks like nothing but horrific violence.
Yep.
It looks like nothing but violence is on the earth.
Or witchcraft.
Or stuff like that. Yeah. But see, this makes a statement. And there's a little lightning bolt on that button.
I know, I love it.
To remind every demon in hell, when they were cast out of heaven with a lightning bolt, they know what that lightning bolt means. So it says, I don't do demons. And right in the middle of it is a lightning bolt to remind every demon out there, you were kicked out of heaven with this lightning bolt. And we rule with the God that did that.
That's right. Yep, I love our new car magnet.
This is a new exciting time where the body of Christ is going to be able to go anywhere without beating people up, saying they're going, you know, tell everybody, oh, you're going to burn in hell, you're a sinner, whatever. Just wear that and see the reaction you get. That definitely puts you in the camp of light and hope and life, and not doom, gloom, and hell and evil and wickedness. God is separating the darkness from the light, and this button helps to do that. So you're living in a time where it's going to happen a lot everywhere.
So before we end, can you just, you know, let everyone know what they can do to stay encouraged, stay positive? Because the enemy's biggest tactics nowadays is fear, confusion. You know, he's always used that, but it seems like it's very prominent nowadays, if he can keep you bogged down with worries. And so what would one do to help with that?
What would one do? That is a very good question, and actually the Bible is kind of clear about that, but for some reason people like to, whatever reason, number one, tune your ears to Christ.
Yes.
Spend time with him. Don't spend so much time on worrying. A lot of people worry about stuff that never happens. And worry does cause fear. It's a form of fear.
It does.
And fear is one of the controls of the enemy. And most of it is literally ungrounded. But the enemy is very good at fear. Fear is one of his weapons. Sickness and disease is a weapon. Of course, lying and deception is a weapon. And there's a lot of that all over the earth right now. Kick it out of your life.
Yep.
If you don't have the formula to do it, if you can't stand there and say, I choose with my soul to loose all the fear, all the worry, all the confusion, all the hate, all the violence I've ever watched, I loose it from my soul. In Jesus' name, you'd be shocked to see that it's going to go.
Yep.
It will just go. People walk around filled with stuff all the time. It says Jesus is the restorer of your soul. Your soul is where all that stuff is stored. So make sure you know what's in the layers of your soul. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, get it out. That would be the first thing I would say, because you can hear better. You actually can understand that you have a future. You can get stuff from God. You can get stuff from the Holy Spirit. And you actually begin to believe that this world is not as dark as Satan lies and says it is.
Yep.
Because if we're here and we are light in this world, and that light is getting more and more powerful in us, and to the point where it'll be blazing like an inferno. And when you go in someplace, demons will run out because it will hurt them to be around you. That's how you need to see yourself. When you receive Jesus Christ, God puts a stone of fire in you. And according to what you choose in your life, that light and that fire begins to burn from you. It says we are made in his image and after his likeness. And if Christ himself said to us, he gives us power over all the power of the enemy. And we start taking that by the choices we make. Stop watching violent stuff every single day of your life. You know, if you like it, at least watch it once in a while. Find a time to put some life in there, some joy, some celebration. Make sure you have fun, because if all you do is sit in a corner of your house thinking it's all over and there's no hope, that means you've been listening to the enemy.
Yeah.
Open the front door of your house, or if you're living in your car, open the door of your car and say, I evict you from this place right now. I'm no longer tolerating you. I don't serve you. That is very important to say that to the enemy.
Yeah.
I don't serve you. I serve the Most High God. That will put terror in the heart of Satan and demons. If you start saying that, I know people who've been set free from all kinds of worry, torment, trauma in their life because they finally had enough, and that's what came out of them. And they could see the demons running. So most important, if you're really under a lot of bondage or addictions, I don't care what it is, I don't care what Satan has given you or what you've offered, you can choose to not do it anymore or tolerate it anymore. And these people that I personally know would stand up and just yell at the enemy like he was right in front of them, I do not serve you. I serve the Most High God of this earth, and I serve Jesus Christ, and you have nothing to do with me. And terror will strike the heart of the very demons who've been tormenting you, and they will run.
Is it important to be vocal like that? Or to, I mean, if people got a lot of people,
it is extremely important. So what do you want? You want people to think you're weird, or do you want to be free?
That's
or just
right.
Go outside and say it. If you've had enough, just go outside and say it. You don't have to say it in front of a bunch of people. Just say, I'll be back, and leave, and they'll come back a different person. Okay? I don't care what's going on in your house. Let's say you live with a friend. They're all into witchcraft or whatever they're into, you know, whatever they're into, and you've been a part of it, and you're fed up with it. You leave. You go outside. First of all, I would say, Jesus, I'm sorry I've been living that way. And then because you've said that, you now have Jesus Christ who you serve. And you have every right to say, I will no longer tolerate you, Satan, running my life. I'm not giving my life to you. And I don't serve you anymore. I serve the Most High God and his son, Jesus Christ. And hell will have the worst headache they've ever had.
Yep.
They will not want to come around you. You may have to move. You may have to find another place. And I wouldn't even mind going and telling my friends, I no longer serve Satan. If that's who you want, keep him. But I'm leaving. And you'll be surprised at the doors God will open to help you.
Yep.
Because you've now separated yourself from the darkness. And some people are right now in the most impossible situations. I know my dad and I, we would help people in the most impossible situations, no matter what it was they were in. I remember my dad used to go to these flop houses back in the late 60s where people first started on drugs and they lost their mind. They had no sense of anything. They were in trauma, and they would have torments on them. He'd go in there with bowls of soup and give them out, and then he'd begin to stand there and just tell them, get rid of the enemy out of your life. Stop tolerating. This is back, way back.
Yeah.
And he said, you need to choose who you're going to serve. Do you like your life, or are you fed up with it? And my dad would say, you need to reject Satan and tell him you reject him, receive Christ, and then you can say, I serve a new master. And some of them today, I'm not kidding, became evangelists, pastors, missionaries.
Yeah.
And because my dad was bold enough to do that and show them there is a new life, because no matter what people look like or act like when they're out partying, they're going to sink eventually. They are going to sink. They're going to... One moment, okay. That's not heaven calling. I will call you back. You never know when I'm going to get a phone call. Anyway, maybe that was somebody who needed to hear. Because if you really seriously are fed up with your life, or you have so much confusion and doubt in you, because maybe the people you're hanging out with don't know anything but that, maybe they themselves need help, you don't have to choose what they are choosing. You have your own soul, and if you are fed up, just go outside and just choose.
Yep.
God says, this day I offer you life and death, choose life. So when you choose Christ, The first thing you're doing is telling the enemy, I don't want you anymore. But you can't just act the same you did every day of your life. In other words, you yourself will begin to change and ask God to begin to change you on the inside. He didn't send you to this earth to sit in a hole somewhere.
And barely exist,
okay? He didn't send you here to just exist. He sent you here to live.
And manifest for him.
And in these days, some people who've never had a dot of life or light in their entire life are going to be so transformed by God, and they'll be some of the best witnesses in the earth.
Yeah.
So don't count yourself out, okay? Maybe you've gone so far nobody wants to come and talk to you.
One thing I know you say a lot, Kat, when like to these kinds of people, is that you say that often people with some of the most problematic stuff going on, just by definition, have probably got some of the most potential, because it's almost like they're targeted, like people...
They are targeted.
Jail, I was just thinking like, that.
What better way to get somebody sort of off, you know, of being any use to God than being in somewhere for 20 years in jail or whatever? Well,
that's right.
He would think, right?
Yeah, but, they would.
And you said you went to a city in a prison one time, and you were telling them that, and they were really set free because they started to see that there was basically an assignment against their lives, and they sort of, the blinkers were coming off, and they were starting to see that, you know, their life, really, like it's like the mirror on your wall, you know, life was supposed to be beautiful for them, but it was just like hoodwinked, you know. Maybe somebody out there right now is, you know, feeling that sort of feeling of, hang about, I'm starting to see that this is all being working against me, you know.
Yeah, you can see where he targeted you, and it started from birth, because the enemy can see... In the spirit realm, obviously.
Right.
And so he sees how many guardian angels are assigned to a baby when it's born.
Can demons see your gifts and stuff?
They can't see anything inside of you. They only know by the activity outside of you. And obviously... That's why
Satan was shocked when Jesus showed up, because he couldn't really see him walking around.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, he couldn't see him.
Imagine if what would happen if Jesus suddenly showed up on the inside of you today and... You'd probably be shocked, and you'd actually be the one scaring the darkness.
That's right.
I'm talking to the people listening.
Yeah, I know. And that is true. When I went into the men's prisons, and they were so undone, including... Who's the head of the prisons? I can't think of
the name. The warden.
The warden came and sat to make sure nobody would hurt me. We had 80 men in this hardcore prison, whatever they call it. And all I began to do was show the truth about heaven and God. And then I started talking about how he had assigned them when he sent them to this earth with great and powerful assignments for him. And when you're sent from heaven, you have many angels that are sent with you to help you throughout your life. And Satan will, it is true, he does target you. And maybe your parents were involved in crime, maybe friends were involved in crime, and you just got sucked into it. That was the enemy's plan, because this is it. Satan helps you do the crimes. Then he helps you get caught. Then he helps you get put in the prison, because he's so afraid of you. He doesn't want you to be in a place where you'll know about the light, that you will know Jesus Christ and complete your assignment, because he's so afraid of you. And people don't see that. But he will trap you, make you get caught, and make you get incarcerated, so you'll have no way to hear the truth. Well, you're hearing the truth right now. You're in prison right now because Satan targeted you. And one of the ways you pay him back, give yourself to Jesus Christ and tell Christ, I'm ready to step into whatever you have for me right now so I can complete my assignment for you and stand against the darkness.
Yeah.
And some of the greatest moves of God are actually going to happen on the inside of prisons. And I know other prophets who saw when that began to happen that doors opened. And some of them were so changed, they got set free. And then they saw them stepping out of the walls of the prison and going around carrying the glory of God to this world.
So, awesome.
So don't discount yourself. That's why I said, no matter how far you've fallen, the blood of Christ is strong enough to take you, captivate you, and you can still complete what he had for you.
That's awesome. That's very powerful.
Also, sometimes I think about people in prison and stuff, and it shows that they're doers. That means that they've really gone out and done something. It's like they take risks. They go, they actually will step over certain lines. And it's like, if you get those people to step over certain lines with God, then they become like, you know, useful and doers for God. You know what I mean?
They are. They're very productive people for God. And at the same time, they are a very big threat to the enemy.
Yep. So
and
that's,
I have to.
I know.
We
so
we,
she has another appointment somewhere.
I have an
so.
Appointment, but this was your appointment today to hear these words, to know this. You were created by God for greatness.
Yes.
To do things for him, and Satan sidetracked you, tricked you, deceived you, however he got a hold of you, you this day can choose to be free, no matter who you are, where you are, and if you've been living for God and not aware that you had a power and authority to do things for him and operate in the spirit realm, you need to know too, this is your time to step into this new time with God and do great things for him. You cannot escape being great if you've been serving and loving God and doing things for him. And this time, he's willing to use whoever will.
Yep.
So, Father, I pray for those people listening, God, whether they've been faithful and not knowing who they really are, or if they've been incarcerated by the enemy, either by the acts they've been doing or the place they've been put. God, I declare they will be free. They will know who they are. They'll be a threat and dangerous to the enemy in their life. I release the life of God and the power of God, the anointing that breaks every yoke of darkness right now. And Father, I call them forth from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, so that you won't do demons, but you will rule with Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Woohoo! Woohoo!